welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Tuesday, March 29th, and we had 9 games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Charlotte, the Nuggets defeated the Hornets 113-109. In Cleveland, the Cavaliers beat the Magic 107-101. In Indiana, the Hawks beat the Pacers 132-123. In Miami, the Heat easily defeated the Kings 123-100. In New York, the Knicks beat the Bulls 109-104. In Toronto, the Raptors defeated the Celtics in overtime 115-112. In Houston, the Spurs beat the Rockets 123-120. In Memphis, the Grizzlies defeated the Warriors 123-95. And finally, in Portland, the Thunder defeated the Trailblazers in overtime 134-131. So we will break down all 9 of those games in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Charlotte, where the Hornets were defeated by the Denver Nuggets, 113-109. The Nuggets were led by Nikola Jokic. He had a triple-double, leading the team in all 3 categories. He had 26 points, 19 rebounds, and 11 assists. And then they also got double-digit scoring from the 4 other starters, including 21 points from Aaron Gordon and 18 from Will Barton. Whereas the Hornets were led by Miles Bridges. He had 27 points and 11 rebounds. And then they also got 22 points and 11 assists from LaMelo Ball and 12 points from Terry Rozier. But unfortunately for the Hornets, they just could not catch the Nuggets in the end. They were trailing throughout the majority of the third and fourth quarters. In fact, the lead at one point in the fourth was up to 11 after a three-pointer from Jeff Green. It was 102-91 with 8:31 left on the clock for the Nuggets. So despite going back and forth with the Hornets throughout the majority of the first half, it looked like the Nuggets were cruising to an easy victory in the fourth quarter in Charlotte. But then that was not exactly the case. The Hornets came storming back. LaMelo Ball's three-pointer with 4 minutes to go cut the deficit to just 1. It was 104-105. So just like that, the Hornets were back in it. And the Nuggets were able to hold the Hornets at bay for a little while. But then another three-pointer, this one from Terry Rozier with 32 seconds to go, once again cut the deficit. The Nuggets had reestablished a 5-point lead, but that three-pointer cut it to 2. Again, it was 109-111. So the Hornets just would not go away. But eventually the Nuggets were able to hold on and get this victory in the end. And that comes despite the fact that they were actually slightly less efficient from the field than the Hornets were, although they did shoot the 3-ball better than Charlotte, and they out-rebounded the Hornets as well, 51-40. So those two things, the 3-point shooting and the rebounding, really carried the Nuggets in this game. And so with this victory, Denver now improves to 45-31. So that is good for 6th still in the Western Conference. They've been in that 6th seed for quite some time. It looked like they were going to be pushed from the Minnesota Timberwolves below them in 7th, but now they are 2 games up on the Wolves in 7th, and they're only half a game now behind the Utah Jazz in 5th, who have been sliding recently. So it's actually looking like the Nuggets could move into 5th rather than drop down to 7th at this point. They are plus 2.4 in the point differential, which is actually 7th best in the West, but they're on a 2-game winning streak. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. And as for the Hornets, this loss takes them to 39-37. So they're down in 9th in the Eastern Conference, just half a game up on the Atlanta Hawks in 10th, and half a game behind the Brooklyn Nets in 8th. So very tightly contested there at the bottom of the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference. All 3 of those teams could be swapping at some point throughout the final stretch of the season if they go on a losing streak or winning streak here. Impressively, all 3 of those teams, the Nets, Hornets, and Hawks, are all 7-3 in their last 10 games. The Hornets are plus 0.3 in the point differential, which is actually tied with the Nets for 8th and 9th in the conference. So Charlotte will almost certainly not be falling out of the play-in game entirely this season, as they're a good 5 games up on the Knicks in 11th, but they would love to be able to jump ahead of the Brooklyn Nets into that 8th spot to be able to just win one of their 2 play-in game matchups, because as it stands in the 9th seed, they would have to beat the Hawks and then beat the loser of the Cavaliers-Nets, and that is a tall order to win 2 games in a row, but we shall see how it all unfolds moving forwards. Moving on right now to the box score, and the Nuggets in this game were led, as I mentioned, by Nikola Jokic, the reigning MVP. He had an incredible triple-double, 26 points, 19 rebounds, 11 assists. Just crazy numbers. And he was 9 of 17 from the field, 8 of 12 from the free throw line. He didn't even attempt a three-pointer. So by his incredible standards, not his most efficient game, but for most players, going 9 of 17 from the field would be just fine. And then he also had 2 steals and 4 turnovers. He was plus 21 in the plus-minus. So all things considered, a pretty incredible game for Nikola Jokic. The huge triple-double, 19 rebounds and 26 points. Pretty remarkable stuff. And then they also got 21 points from Aaron Gordon in 33 minutes. He was even more efficient than Jokic, 9 of 16 from the field. He had 1 three-pointer, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block. So really stuffing the stat sheet. And 0 turnovers as well. Really good line for Aaron Gordon. And then they got 18 points from Will Barton. He was less efficient, 7 of 17 from the field, but he had 4 three-pointers, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. 14 points for Jeff Green. He was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. And 14 points for Monty Morris, rounding out the starting lineup in 34 minutes. He was also 5 of 10 from the field, and he had 2 three-pointers, 3 rebounds, 9 assists, and 1 steal. And off the bench for the Nuggets, they got 9 points from Bones Highland, the rookie. He had 2 three-pointers, 2 assists, 2 rebounds. 6 points for DeMarcus Cousins in just 12 minutes. He had 4 rebounds. 5 for Austin Rivers, and Bryn Forbes and Devon Reed saw the court briefly, but neither of them scored. And as for the Nuggets, they were led, as I mentioned, by Miles Bridges. He had a big double-double, 27 points and 11 rebounds in 36 minutes. He was 12 of 22 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. He also had 5 turnovers. 22 points and 11 assists for LaMelo Ball, the sophomore. He was 8 of 21 from the field. He had 4 three-pointers, 6 rebounds, 2 steals. 12 points for Terry Rozier. He was not very efficient, 5 of 14 from the field. He had 2 threes and 2 rebounds, 8 assists. 5 points for Mason Plumlee. He had 2 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block. He was 2 of 2 from the field. And PJ Washington, rounding out the starting lineup, had 10 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Off the bench for Charlotte, they got 12 points from Kelly Oubre Jr. and Isaiah Thomas. Thomas, the backup point guard, the recent acquisition, has been actually contributing for the Hornets off the bench recently. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. He was 5 of 12 from the field. Oubre was more efficient. He was 5 of 9 from the field. And he had 2 three-pointers. And they were both tied for the team high, plus 14 in the plus-minus. And then they also got 9 points from Montrezl Harrell. He had 5 rebounds, 2 steals. And Cody Martin saw the court for 17 minutes, but he was 0 of 3 from the field in that time. He did not score. All right, next up we can move on to Cleveland, where the Cavaliers defeated the Orlando Magic, 107-101. The Cavaliers were led by Darius Garland. He had a double-double, 25 points and 12 assists. And then they also got 20 points from Lauri Markkanen and 19 off the bench from Kevin Love. Whereas the Magic were led by Wendell Carter. He had 15 points, 12 rebounds, and 6 assists. He led the team in all 3 categories. And then they also got 13 points off the bench from Ignas Brazdeikis and double-digit scoring from 5 other players, including Admiral Schofield and Markelle Fultz off the bench. So it was a group effort for the Magic, to be sure, and they were actually going against a shorthanded Cavaliers team. In addition to all their other pre-existing injuries, they also lost the Rookie of the Year contender Evan Mobley to a sprained ankle in this game. He only ended up playing 13 minutes, so the Magic had plenty of opportunities to steal this game in Cleveland, and they were actually really close to doing so in the end. This game was actually pretty close throughout the majority of regulation. There were 2 distinct times when the Cavaliers pulled away and had a pretty significant lead. It was the beginning of the second quarter and then the very end of the fourth quarter. So in the second, it was actually a huge lead at one point. It was 44-25, so nearly a 20-point game after a 10-footer from Evan Mobley. The Magic just could not buy a bucket at the beginning of the second quarter. But then slowly but surely, by the end of the second, they had cut into that deficit quite significantly. It was just a 7-point game at the half. It was 53-60, so the Magic did well to get back in this game, and then it was back and forth throughout the majority of the rest of the third quarter and fourth quarter until the end of the fourth, like I said, when the Magic once again stagnated and they could not buy a bucket for several minutes at the end of the fourth quarter either. And so with about 1 minute to go, it was a 10-point game in favor of the Cavaliers. It was 102-92, so it looked like the Cavs were going to cruise to an easy victory over the lowly Magic. But then the Magic just caught fire, and they got a couple of buckets down the stretch in the last, like, minute of this game. So first, Jeff Doughton made a 3-pointer with 57 seconds to go. And then after that, Chuma Okeke knocked down a 3-pointer with 27 seconds to go. That one cut the deficit to just 4. It was 98-102 with 27 seconds left on the clock. So the Magic made things interesting down the stretch, but ultimately some free throws from Dylan Windler helped the Cavaliers hold on and get this victory in the end. So a bit of a shaky finish there for the Cavaliers, but they got the win in the end, and that's all that matters. And we hope for their sake that the injury to Evan Mobley is nothing too serious, because they're going to need him down the stretch with all the other injuries that they're already dealing with, like I mentioned. And they didn't even shoot the ball that well in this game, the Cavaliers. They were 44% from the field, 31% from three. The Magic were actually better from the field overall. They were 48%, but they were just 27% from three, and they had 17 turnovers. Those really killed them, the three-point shooting and the turnovers. So with this loss, the Magic now fall to 20-56. So that is worst in the Eastern Conference. It's actually tied with the Houston Rockets in the Western Conference for worst record in the entire league. So the Magic, Magic and Rockets right now in pole position to get one of those top seeds in the draft. They are negative 7.8 in the point differential, which is tied with the Pistons for worst in the Eastern Conference. They're on a three-game losing streak, and they're 4-6 in their last 10 games. And as for the Cavaliers, this win takes them to 42-33, so they are in seventh still in the Eastern Conference, having been surpassed by the Toronto Raptors, and they're actually still a game behind Toronto after their win. And then they are three games up on the Brooklyn Nets in eighth, so the Cavaliers almost certainly will not be falling any further than where they're at right now, the seventh seed, but it really sucks for them that they have to be in the seventh seed, because they're going to have to play the Brooklyn Nets in the play-in game, and if they lose, then they're going to have to play the winner of the Hornets-Hawks game, and if they lose that one, they're out of the playoffs entirely, and that would just be a shocking and really disappointing result after this really encouraging season for the Cavaliers, but they've just been so derailed by injuries that they've fallen all the way down to seventh. So, unfortunate stuff for the Cavaliers. Their plus 2.6 point differential is better than several teams ahead of them. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Magic were led, as I mentioned, by Wendell Carter. He had 15 points, 12 rebounds, and 6 assists in 27 minutes in the starting lineup. He was 7-14 from the field, so that's not bad, but he was 0-4 from 3 and 1-6 from the free throw line, so really terrible shooting from the charity stripe and from beyond the arc for Carter Jr. That really affected his efficiency overall. He had one steal, and he was plus 4 in the plus-minus. The team high in that regard was actually Franz Wagner, the rookie. He was plus 12 in his 28 minutes. He had 10 points on 4 of 8 shooting. He had 3 rebounds and 6 assists. And then they got 11 points from Mo Bamba and Cole Anthony. Bamba was 4 of 6 from the field, and he had 3 three-pointers and 4 rebounds. And Anthony was 4 of 8 from the field, and he had 4 assists. And then RJ Hampton rounding out the starting lineup. He played just 13 minutes, and he had 6 points in that time. He was 2 of 2 from beyond the arc. Those are the only shots he took. And off the bench for the Magic, they got 13 points from Ignas Brazdeikis in 23 minutes. He was 6 of 10 from the field. He had 4 rebounds. 10 points for Admiral Schofield. He had 2 three-pointers, 3 rebounds. 11 for Markel Fultz in 19 minutes, the backup point guard. He was 5 of 11 from the field. He had 4 assists, 2 steals. And then they also got 7 points from Chuma Okeke, although he was 3 of 11 from the field. 2 points for Mo Wagner. He was 1 of 5 from the field. And 5 points for Jeff Doughton in 18 minutes. And as for the Cavaliers, they were led, as I mentioned, by Darius Garland. He had the big double-double, 25 points and 12 assists in 40 minutes. He was 7 of 17 from the field, 5 of 10 from 3, and 6 of 6 from the free throw line. So as more and more guys keep going down for the Cavaliers, Garland taking on a bigger and bigger offensive load, and he seems to be taking it in stride. I mean, he's kind of the opposite of Carter Jr. He was only 7 of 17 from the field, but his three-point shooting and his free throw shooting really salvaged his efficiency. He was 50% on 10 attempts from beyond the arc. That's incredible and perfect from the line. And then he also had 3 rebounds and 3 steals as well, and he was plus 15 in the plus-minus. That was actually the team high. So really incredible stuff for Garland. And then they also got 20 points from Lauri Markkanen, although he was 6 of 15 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers. 11 points for Isaac Okoro, the sophomore. In 36 minutes, he was 4 of 6 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 4 steals, and a block. And then they got 8 points from Caris LeVert. He was not very efficient, 4 of 15 from the field, but he did have 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And the rookie Evan Mobley rounding out the starting lineup played just the 13 minutes before going out of this game with the sprained ankle. He was actually perfect from the field while he was on the court, 6 points on 3 of 3 shooting, although he was 0 of 2 from the free throw line, and he had 3 rebounds. And off the bench for the Cavaliers, they got 19 points from the veteran big man, Kevin Love. He was 7 of 15 from the field, and he had 4 three-pointers, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. They got 6 points from Lamar Stevens in 24 minutes, 4 from Moses Brown, the backup big man, in 7 minutes, and then 5 points for Dylan Windler, and 3 points for Brandon Goodwin. All right, next up we can move on to Indiana, where the Pacers were defeated by the Atlanta Hawks, 132-123. The Hawks were led by Bogdan Bogdanovic. He had 29 points off the bench in 29 minutes. He was 8-14 from the field. He had 5 3-pointers. And then they also got 22 points in the starting lineup from Kevin Huerter and double-doubles for Trae Young and Clint Capella. Capella was 11-17 from the field for 22 points with 15 rebounds. And then Trae had 14 and 16 assists. Whereas the Pacers were led by Buddy Hield. He had 26 points in the starting lineup. He had 5 3-pointers. And then they got 25 and 13 from Tyrese Halliburton and 16 points from Kiefer Sykes. But this was just a good steady win for the Hawks because they were leading from the first quarter onwards. They had outscored the Pacers 44-30 in that first quarter. So they had a 14-point advantage heading into the second. And then they basically just maintained a double-digit lead throughout the entire rest of the game. They never really expanded upon the lead much. It was always about 10 points, but they maintained it. So that's all you can really ask. At one point in the third quarter, the Pacers had cut it to within double digits. It was like a 6-point game. But by the end of the third, the Hawks had reestablished that double-digit lead, and then they held it throughout the fourth as well. So, like I said, a comfortable win, basically, in the end for the Hawks, and they shot the ball quite efficiently. 54% from the field, 48% from three. That is absurd shooting. The Pacers weren't bad themselves. They were 51% from the field and 47% from three. But in addition to that slight edge in terms of the shooting, the rebounding was heavily in the Hawks' favor. They out-rebounded the Pacers 40-28. So that really helped them secure this victory. Clint Capella was just beasting in the paint. And so with this win, the Hawks now improved to 38-37. So they are in 10th still in the Eastern Conference. They're only half a game behind the Hornets in 9th, so they could definitely surpass Charlotte if they were to continue this winning streak that they're on. They're on a 2-game winning streak, and they're 7-3 in their last 10. Their plus 0.8 point differential is better than several teams ahead of them. And then they're a good 4.5 games up on the Knicks in 11th. And as for the Pacers, this loss takes them to 25-51. So they're down firmly in the 13th spot in the Eastern Conference, eliminated from the playoffs at this point, 8 games behind the Washington Wizards in 12th, and then they are 3.5 games up on the Detroit Pistons in 14th. They are still currently in 5th in terms of the tankathon. Only the Pistons and Magic in the Eastern Conference and Thunder and Rockets in the Western Conference have worse records right now, and they're actually being chased in terms of the draft seeding right now by the Kings and Blazers, who are both on 27 wins. So if the Pacers aren't careful, they might be too competent down the stretch, win too many games, and ultimately lose a couple of spots in the draft lottery. We shall see how it all unfolds. But anyways, we can move on now to the box score for this game. And the Hawks were led, as I mentioned, by Bogdan Bogdanovic. He had 29 points in 29 minutes off the bench. He was 8-14 from the field, 5-7 from 3, and 8-10 from the free throw line. So really solid game shooting the ball for Bogdanovic, and he also had 5 rebounds. As for the starters, they were led by Clint Capella and Kevin Huerter, both of whom had 22 points. So Capella had a big double-double, 22 and 15 rebounds, and he was very efficient, 11-17 from the field in 31 minutes. He also had 3 assists and nothing else in the box score. No free throw attempts, no steals, no blocks. And then Huerter had 22 points on 8 of 13 shooting. He had 6 3-pointers, 6 assists, and 2 rebounds. And then Trae Young was pretty inefficient in this game, just 14 points on 4 of 13 shooting, but he did have 16 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. And then 13 points for Timothy Luau-Cabarro in 30 minutes. He had 4 rebounds, 2 steals. And then 9 points for DeLon Wright rounding out the starting lineup. He was 4 of 7 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. And then off the bench for the Hawks, besides Bogdan Bogdanovic, they also got 12 points from Jalen Johnson, the rookie. In 17 minutes, he was on fire, 6 of 8 from the field. He had 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. He was plus 16 in the plus minus. That was a team high. In fact, all 4 of the guys off the bench for the Hawks were significantly positive in the plus minus. And then they also got 6 points from Lou Williams in 15 minutes, and 5 from the backup big man Onyeka Okongwu. And he had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. And as for the Pacers, they were led, as I mentioned, by Buddy Hield and Tyrese Halliburton, the two former Kings, were both on fire in this game. Hield had 26 points in 38 minutes. He was 10 of 15 from the field, 5 of 7 from 3, and he had 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And then Halliburton had 25 points. He was 9 of 19 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3, and he had 3 rebounds, 13 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Fantastic production for Halliburton. And then they got 14 points from the big man, Goga Bitadze, in the starting lineup in 30 minutes. He was 5 of 11 from the field, and he had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. 9 points for Justin Anderson in 27 minutes. He was 4 of 9 from the field, and he had 5 rebounds. and 16 points for Kiefer Sykes, rounding out the starters. He was on fire, 6 of 9 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3, and he had 4 assists. And off the bench for Indiana, they got 13 points from Lance Stevenson. He was 3 of 8 from the field, but 7 of 7 from the free throw line. And he had 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 11 points for Terry Taylor, he had 2 steals, and 9 points for Jalen Smith, he had 6 rebounds in 23 minutes. Alright, next up we can move on to Miami, where the Heat easily defeated the Sacramento Kings, 123-100. The Heat were led by Jimmy Butler, he had 27 points in the starting lineup, he was 10 of 14 from the field. And then they also got a big double-double from Bam Adebayo, 22 points and 15 rebounds. And then they got 20 points off the bench from Tyler Hero. So this was just what the doctor ordered for the Heat. They were on that 4-game losing streak, but they looked much better in this game, and they're back at the top of the Eastern Conference now. And whereas the Kings were led by Davion Mitchell, the rookie, he had 21 points. And then they also got 17 points from Harrison Barnes and 15 from Damian Jones. But this was just a total domination for the Heat. They outscored the Kings 31-19 in the first, and then 26-22 in the second, so they were leading by 16 points at the half. And then they just continued to expand upon that lead in the second half. They outscored the Kings 36-27 in the third, so it was a significant lead heading into the fourth, and they pretty much just maintained that lead and cruised to an easy victory in garbage time. And unsurprisingly, the Heat shot the ball very efficiently, 54% from the field, 47% from three, whereas the Kings, not so much, 45% from the field, 34% from three. And they were also completely dominated on the boards. They were out-rebounded by the Heat 32-48. So just a dominating victory here for Miami. And with this victory, like I said, they are back at the top of the Eastern Conference. They're at 48-28, which is one game up on the 76ers, Bucks, and Celtics in second, third, and fourth. So the Heat kind of getting let off the hook a little bit with all three of those teams losing, and so they reclaim their number one seed, which may or may not be such a good thing in the end, because if the Brooklyn Nets ultimately find themselves in the eighth seed, that might be a potential landmine. But more than likely, I think they'll probably win that first play-in game and be in the seventh seed. So it's that second seed that you probably want to avoid. But anyways, the Heat are plus 4.1 in the point differential, which is second best in the conference behind just the Celtics. And because of that losing streak they're on, they're only 4-6 in their last 10 games. And as for the Kings, this loss takes them to 27-49. So down in 13th in the Western Conference, like I said, trying to tank the rest of the season to move up in the draft lottery if they can. The only team ahead of them that they could potentially catch would be the Indiana Pacers. The Kings are negative 5.4 in the point differential. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Kings were led, as I mentioned, by the rookie Davion Mitchell. He had 21 points in the starting lineup. He was 9 of 19 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, 9 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. He's basically getting all that he can eat with De'Aaron Fox out of the lineup. He took the most shot attempts by far on the team. He was the team low, though, negative 24 in the plus-minus. And then they got 17 points from Harrison Barnes. He was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 3 threes, 3 assists, 2 rebounds. 15 points for Damian Jones in 25 minutes. He was actually quite efficient, 6 of 8 from the field, and he had 6 rebounds. And then they got 11 points from Trey Lyles and 6 points from Justin Holiday, rounding out the starting lineup. He was 2 of 8 from the field. And off the bench for the Kings, they got 12 points from Dante DiVincenzo in 32 minutes. He was 4 of 9 from beyond the arc, and he had 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 3 steals. So solid production from DiVincenzo. 9 points for Chimezie Metu, the backup big man, in 26 minutes, and he also had 9 rebounds. 6 points for Jeremy Lamb in 9 minutes, and 3 points from Nemias Keita, rounding out the bench for the Kings. Whereas the Heat were led by Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo in the starting lineup, both of whom were incredible. So Butler had 27 points on 10 of 14 shooting, and he was 3 of 5 from beyond the arc and 4 of 4 from the free throw line. Insane efficiency for Butler, and he had 5 rebounds and 7 assists. And then Bam was also fantastic, 22 points, 15 rebounds in 32 minutes. He was 10 of 16 from the field, and he had 1 assist, 2 steals, and a block, and he was plus 24 in the plus minus, which was tied for the team high. So really good stuff for Bam and Jimmy. And then they also got 9 points from Kyle Lowry. He was 3 of 4 from beyond the arc. All he took were those 4 three-pointers in 26 minutes. He had 5 rebounds, 6 assists. 7 points for PJ Tucker. He had 4 rebounds, 4 assists. And Max Strus actually rounding out the starting lineup. He started in place of Duncan Robinson, and he was 3 of 12 from the field. 2 of 9 from 3, so not exactly the most efficient game for Strus. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists. And off the bench for the Heat, they got 20 points from Tyler Hero, the presumptive sixth man of the year. In 29 minutes, he was 8 of 15 from the field. He had 4 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Robinson was pretty efficient in his 25 minutes off the bench. He had 15 points on 5 of 8 shooting from 3. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. And then they also got 6 points from Dwayne Dedmon, the backup big man. 5 for Gabe Vincent. He was 2 of 5 from the field. He had 2 steals, 2 assists. 2 points for Omer Yurtseven in just 2 minutes. And 2 points for Udonis Haslem as well. All right, next up we can move on to New York, where the surging Knicks defeated the Chicago Bulls 109-104. The Knicks were led by RJ Barrett. He had 28 points in the starting lineup, and they also got 27 from Alec Burks and 16 and 12 from Mitchell Robinson. Whereas the Bulls were led by DeMar DeRozan, he had another fantastic game, 37 points in 41 minutes. He was 12 of 26 from the field, 12 of 12 from the free throw line. And then they also got 27 points from Zach LaVine. He was 9 of 10 from the free throw line. So those two combining for 21 of 22 from the charity stripe is just incredible. And then they also got a double-double from Nikola Vucevic, 16 and 13. But unfortunately for the Bulls, they just could not overcome the Knicks in the end. It was a close one down the stretch. Ultimately, Alec Burks was the hero for the second game in a row. He hit a clutch three-pointer with 23 seconds to go that put the Knicks up by 4. It was 107-103, and that really helped them secure the victory. They were actually trailing early on. They had been outscored in the first quarter, 28-24. And Chicago actually had a double-digit lead at one point in the second quarter, but then the Knicks came storming back. They ultimately outscored the Bulls 29-22 in the second, and then they kept the pressure on in the third, and they led, like I said, throughout the majority of the third and fourth quarters until the very end of this game when it got really close, and it was just back and forth down the stretch. But ultimately, like I said, that clutch bucket from Burks helped break the tie, and the Knicks got the victory. And it was actually the three-point shooting overall in this game that helped the Knicks win. They were actually slightly less efficient from the field than the Bulls. They were 42%, whereas the Bulls were 43%, but the Knicks were 34% from three, whereas the Bulls were just 26% from beyond the arc. And in addition to the three-point shooting, the turnovers were heavily in favor of the Knicks. They were very tidy with the ball, only 6 turnovers, whereas the Bulls had 14 turnovers. So those were the two big factors in this one that helped the Knicks win, the three-point shooting and the ball handling. And so with this win, the Knicks are now on a 4-game winning streak, the best of any team in the Eastern Conference. They are 6-4 in their last 10. They're currently in 11th. They're at 34-42, so they're still technically not eliminated from the playoffs, but they're 4.5 games behind the Hawks in 10th, so almost certainly not going to happen. They're 1 game up on the Wizards in 12th. And as for the Bulls, this loss takes them to 43-32. So they're in 5th in the Eastern Conference, tied with the Toronto Raptors in 6th. Both of those teams are at 43-32, and they just have the edge in terms of the tiebreaker. So the Raptors could easily surpass the Bulls in the next couple of games as they are on fire lately. They're on a 3-game winning streak, and they're 8-2 in their last 10, whereas the Bulls are just 4-6 in their last 10. And their plus 0.4 point differential is significantly worse than not only the Raptors, but several teams below them. So we'll see if the Bulls eventually fall below the Raptors, and even the Cavaliers. They're only 1 game up on Cleveland in 7th, so that would be disaster if Chicago fell all the way down to the 7th seed. But we're not quite there yet. We'll just have to wait and see how it all unfolds throughout the rest of the season. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Bulls were led by DeMar DeRozan. Another incredible performance. He had 37 points in 41 minutes. He was 12 of 26 from the field, perfect 12 of 12 from the free throw line, and he had 6 rebounds, 7 assists. And then 27 points for Zach LaVine. He was 8 of 17 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers, and he was 9 of 10 from the free throw line. And he had 4 rebounds and 3 assists. And then they got the double-double from Nikola Vucevic. 16 points and 13 rebounds. He had 1 assist, 2 steals, and a block. 10 points for Ayo Dosunmu, the rookie. He was 4 of 8 from the field, and he had 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. And Alex Caruso, rounding out the starting lineup, had 3 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. And off the bench for Chicago, they got 6 points from Kobe White. He was 2 of 9 from the field in 21 minutes, 0 of 5 from 3. He did have 7 rebounds, though. They got 3 points from Javonte Green and 2 from Tristan Thompson. Patrick Williams saw the court for 13 minutes, but he didn't even attempt a shot. And as for the Knicks, they were led, as I mentioned, by RJ Barrett. He had 28 points in 43 minutes. He was 10 of 24 from the field, 2 of 3 from beyond the arc, and 6 of 7 from the free throw line. So overall, pretty solid efficiency for Barrett. He had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. He was plus 4 in the plus minus. The team high in that regard was actually Alec Burks. He was plus 10 in his 42 minutes. He had 27 points on 9 of 19 shooting. He was 5 of 10 from 3 and a perfect 4 of 4 from the free throw line. And he had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. And then also plus 10 in the plus minus was Mitchell Robinson. He was incredible in this game as well. 16 points on 8 of 9 shooting. He had 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 3 blocks, and 0 turnovers. So a nearly perfect line for Robinson, but as he typically does, he was not good from the free throw line. He was 0 of 2 in that regard. And then the other two starters were absolutely terrible, Julius Randle and Evan Fournier. They nearly torpedoed the Knicks' chances in this game. They went a combined 3 of 19 from the field. So Randle had 5 points on 1 of 9 shooting. He was 0 of 4 from 3 and 3 of 6 from the free throw line. Just terrible. He had 13 rebounds and 4 assists. And then Fournier had 5 points as well on 2 of 10 shooting. And he was 1 of 8 from 3 and he had 3 assists. Really pathetic performances from those two. But Robinson, Burks, and Barrett were all really solid. And also really solid was Obi Toppin off the bench, the sophomore big man. He had 17 points in 20 minutes. He was 6 of 11 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers and 2 rebounds. And then they also got 8 points from the other sophomore, Emmanuel Quickley, although he was just 1 of 5 from the field. He was 5 of 7 from the free throw line, though, and he had 4 assists. And then they got 3 points from the rookie, Miles McBride. And Jericho Sims saw the court for 13 minutes, but he was scoreless in that time. All right, next up we can move on to Toronto, where the Raptors defeated the Boston Celtics in overtime, 115-112. The Celtics were resting the majority of their players in this game. No Jason Tatum, no Jaylen Brown, no Al Horford, no Robert Williams. And so they had Aaron Nesmith and Derek White and Daniel Tice and Grant Williams all in the starting lineup. And despite all that, they were able to push this game to overtime, but the Raptors were ultimately able to get the victory in the end. And they were led by Pascal Siakam. He was incredible once again. 40 points and 13 rebounds. He had 5 combined steals and blocks. He was just incredible in this game, despite fouling out. He is really making a push for one of those All-NBA spots. And then they also got 14 points from OG Anunoby and Fred VanVleet. Whereas the Celtics were led by Marcus Smart. He was pretty much their only typical starter still in the lineup. And he had 28 points and 10 rebounds. And then they also got 17 from Grant Williams and 15 points from Derek White. But unfortunately for the Celtics, they were just edged in overtime by the Raptors in this game, but it was really close throughout. The Celtics were actually leading early on in this game. They had outscored the Raptors 38-30 in the first quarter, and then they were actually leading by double digits at the beginning of the second. But then the Raptors quickly closed that gap, and then it was just back and forth throughout the rest of the second half. Pascal Siakam had a clutch layup with 52 seconds left in regulation that cut the deficit to just 2. It was 104-106, and then some free throws helped tie the game from Siakam, 106 all. And then in overtime, the Celtics just managed 6 points. It was 9-6. There was back-to-back buckets once again from Pascal Siakam. He had a finger roll with 2:23 left on the clock that put the Raptors up by 1. It was 111-110. And then just a little bit later, he had a clutch step-back jump shot with 1:52 left on the clock that put the Raps up by 3. So a clutch win in the end for the Raptors, despite the fact that the Celtics were shorthanded and despite the fact that the officiating was pretty brutal in this game. There was some really questionable calls on both sides of the court for both teams. But the Raptors were able to prevail, get the victory, and they didn't even shoot the ball that efficiently. They were 43% from the field and 25% from 3, but the Celtics were just 41% from the field. And what really killed them is they had 18 turnovers, whereas the Raptors just had 10. So really sloppy ball handling for Boston, which isn't really that surprising considering all the guys that they were missing. But Marcus Smart had 7 turnovers, Grant Williams had 4, Derek White had 3. Yeah, that's not good enough. But so with this loss, the Celtics now fall to 47-29. So they now fall back down to fourth. They were briefly atop the Eastern Conference, but it is so tightly contested up there that with this one loss, the Celtics fell all the way down to fourth. They are just behind the Bucks and 76ers in second and third. They're all one game behind the Heat in first, but the Bucks and 76ers have played 2 less games than the Celtics, so they are slightly ahead in terms of the win percentage. And the Celtics are plus 6.8 in the point differential, which is best in the conference. And they're still 8-2 in their last 10 games, despite this loss. And as for the Raptors, this win takes them to 43-32. So they're in sixth, just 2 spots below the Celtics, although they are 3.5 games behind that group of teams, the 76ers, Bucks, and Celtics, in second, third, and fourth. And as we touched on already, they're exactly tied with the Chicago Bulls in fifth. Both of those teams are at 43 and 32. And then they're one game up on the Cavaliers in seventh. So at this point, there are three distinct tiers in the Eastern Conference playoff picture. And there's only one game separating all of the teams in each tier. So you've got the top teams, the Heat, 76ers, Bucks, Celtics. One game separates first through fourth. Then you've got the Bulls, Raptors, Cavaliers in fifth through seventh. And only one game separates those three teams. And then you've got the bottom three teams of the Nets, Hornets, and Hawks. And only one game separates those three teams as well. So a lot can still change throughout these final couple of games in the regular season. All right, so we can move on to the box score for this game. And the Celtics were led, as I mentioned, by Marcus Smart. With no Jason Tatum and no Jaylen Brown, he stepped up and had 28 points in 40 minutes. Now, he wasn't super efficient, 10 of 25 from the field, 2 of 11 from 3, and he did have 7 turnovers. But nonetheless, he had 10 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 block. And then they also got 17 points from Grant Williams in 39 minutes. He was 5 of 13 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks. 15 points from Derek White. He was pretty inefficient, 4 of 16 from the field, but he did have 3 three-pointers, 8 assists, and 6 rebounds. And then they got 13 points from the other two starters. Daniel Theis, the big man, had a double-double, 13 points and 10 rebounds, with 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. And Nesmith had 13 points and 4 rebounds in 39 minutes. He was 5 of 8 from the field. He had 3 steals as well. And off the bench for the Celtics, they got 10 points from Sam Hauser and Peyton Pritchard. Hauser was much more efficient. He was 4 of 6 from the field in 21 minutes, whereas Pritchard was 3 of 12 from the field. He had 8 rebounds and 5 assists, though. And then Luke Kornet, rounding out the bench, had 6 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist in 15 minutes. And as for the Raptors, they were led, as I mentioned, by Pascal Siakam. He was incredible, 40 points and 13 rebounds in 47 minutes. He was 17 of 29 from the field, although he was 0 of 4 from 3, but he had 1 assist, 3 steals, and 2 blocks as well, and ultimately he fouled out of this game. He just had 1 turnover, though, so really just incredible line for Siakam. The insane efficiency, 17 of 29 from the field, and then the 5 combined steals and blocks. And then they also got double-digit scoring from all 4 of the other starters. OG Anunoby had 14 points in 40 minutes. He was 6 of 12 from the field. He had 2 threes, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. 14 points as well for Fred VanVleet. In 40 minutes, he was 4 of 13 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and a block. And then they got 12 points from Gary Trent Jr. He was 4 of 12 from the field. He had 2 assists, 3 steals. And 10 points for Scottie Barnes, the rookie, rounding out the starting lineup. He was 5 of 12 from the field, 0 of 3 from beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds and 4 assists. And off the bench for the Raptors, they got 12 points from Thaddeus Young. In 28 minutes, he was 5 of 9 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 3 blocks. Really stuffing the stat sheet there, Thad Young. And then they also got 7 points from Precious Achiuwa. In 28 minutes, he was 3 of 10 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 4 blocks. And 4 points for Chris Boucher. In 15 minutes, he was 2 of 9 from the field. He had 4 rebounds. All right, next up, we can move on to Houston, where the Rockets were defeated by the San Antonio Spurs, 123-120. The Spurs were led by DeJounte Murray. He had 33 points, 11 assists, and 7 rebounds. And then they also got a double-double from Jakob Poeltl, 17 points and 13 rebounds, and 21 points from Keldon Johnson. Whereas the Rockets were led by Jalen Green. He had 30 points in the starting lineup, and then they also got 26 from his partner in the backcourt, Kevin Porter Jr., and 20 points off the bench from the rookie, Josh Christopher. The Rockets are in full tank mode here, as there was no Christian Wood and no Eric Gordon, but they were still competitive in this game. It was really close down the stretch. It was an exciting finish, but they were actually trailing throughout the majority of regulation. The Spurs had outscored the Rockets 39-31 in the first, and then they had built up as much as a 14-point lead at one point in the second quarter after a DeJounte Murray dunk off of a Devin Vassell assist with 8:20 left in the second. It was a 14-point advantage for the Spurs, and then they basically just maintained a 5-10-point lead throughout the rest of regulation until the very end of the fourth quarter when the Rockets went on a run and they made things exciting down the stretch, but ultimately the Spurs were able to hold on and get this victory in the end. A 3-pointer from Josh Christopher with 9 seconds to go made the scoreline a little bit more close than it actually was. The Spurs actually shot the ball much worse than the Rockets from three. They were only 24% from beyond the arc, whereas the Rockets were 40% from three. However, the Spurs dominated the Rockets in the paint. They were more efficient, 47% from the field, whereas the Rockets were just 41% from the field, and they out-rebounded Houston 56-44. The veteran Jakob Poeltl was bullying the rookie Alperen Şengün, who was starting in the front court for the Rockets. And so with this victory, the Spurs now improve to 31-44. So that is good for 11th in the Western Conference, but they are now breathing down the Los Angeles Lakers' neck in 10th. They're just half a game behind the Lakers at this point, the Spurs. So it's going to be very close down the stretch. The Lakers also have a harder schedule for the rest of the season than the Spurs. San Antonio's on a four-game winning streak, and they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. They've been playing very well to close out the season, not tanking in the slightest in what could be Greg Popovich's final season for San Antonio. Their negative 0.3 point differential is better than the three teams ahead of them. And as for the Houston Rockets, this loss takes them to 20-56. They are, of course, at the bottom of the Western Conference, 2.5 games behind the Oklahoma City Thunder in 14th. And their negative 8.5 point differential is worst in the entire NBA. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games, and they're currently tied with the Orlando Magic in the Eastern Conference for worst record in the league. So the Rockets right now in pole position to get one of those top picks in the draft. All right, so anyways, we can move on now to the box score, and the Spurs were led, as I mentioned, by DeJounte Murray. He had 33 points in 38 minutes, and he was very efficient, 11 of 18 from the field. He had 2 3-pointers, he was 9 of 12 from the free throw line, and he had 7 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. He was plus 5 in the plus minus, just another fantastic performance, especially from a fantasy perspective for DeJounte Murray. And then they also got a double-double from Jakob Poeltl. Like I said, he was feasting down low. He had 17 points and 13 rebounds, and he was 8 of 10 from the field. He had 1 steal and 2 blocks, as well as 0 turnovers. Really good stuff for Poeltl. And then they got 21 points from Keldon Johnson. He was 7 of 17 from the field. He had 9 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. And then 9 points for Devin Vassell, the sophomore. He was not very efficient, 3 of 13 from the field in 34 minutes. He had 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And the rookie Josh Primo, rounding out the starting lineup, was also not very efficient. He had 6 points on 3 of 11 shooting. He had 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 3 steals, though. And off the bench for the Spurs, they got 15 points from Josh Richardson, their recent acquisition from the Boston Celtics. He was 5 of 11 from the field. He had 3 3-pointers, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. And then they also got 13 points from Zach Collins, the big man. In 21 minutes, he was 6 of 10 from the field, and he had 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. And 6 points for the sophomore point guard, Trey Jones, 3 points for Jock Landale in 13 minutes. And as for the Rockets, they were led, as I mentioned, by the rookie point guard, Jalen Green. He was on fire in this game, 30 points in 40 minutes. He was 10 of 24 from the field, but 6 of 15 from 3, and 4 of 4 from the free throw line. He had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 block. And then Kevin Porter Jr. also stuffed the stat sheet. He had 26 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists with a steal and a block. And he was also perfect from the free throw line, 5 of 5. But from the field overall, he was only 9 of 22. And he had 3 3-pointers. And then the rest of the starters, they got 12 points from Alperen Şengün in 29 minutes. He was 3 of 10 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks. 10 points for Jayshon Tate. The sophomore was 4 of 9 from the field in 28 minutes. He had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And then Garrison Matthews, rounding out the starting lineup, had just 3 points on 1 of 7 shooting. And off the bench for the Rockets, they got 20 points from the rookie Josh Christopher in 30 minutes. He was 6 of 10 from the field, 7 of 7 from the free throw line. And he also had 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Really solid game for Christopher. And then they got 7 points from Kenyon Martin Jr. and 7 points as well for Dacian Nix. And then Usman Garuba, their third rookie, rounding out the bench. He has not really seen the court very much this season for the Rockets, but he had 5 points and 3 rebounds in this game. All right, next up we can move on to Memphis, where the Grizzlies easily defeated the Golden State Warriors, 123-95. The Grizz are now like 14-2 in games without Ja Morant. He's still unavailable. Steph Curry, of course, also unavailable, so both teams a bit shorthanded. But the Grizzlies just totally dominated the Warriors nonetheless. They were led by Desmond Bane. He had 22 points. And then they also got 21 from Dylan Brooks and 21 off the bench from DeAnthony Melton. He had 5 3-pointers. Whereas the Warriors were led by Jordan Poole, he had 25 points in 28 minutes. And then they got 18 points off the bench from Moses Moody, the rookie. And the other rookie, Jonathan Kuminga, had 15 points in the starting lineup. But in addition to Steph being out, there was also no Klay Thompson, no Draymond Green for Golden State in this game. And so consequently, they were just totally dominated by the Grizzlies. And it was really the second quarter when things got out of hand. It was only a 4-point game after the first. It was 20-16, so kind of a low-scoring first quarter. But the Grizzlies outscored the Warriors by 22 points in the second quarter. It was 43-21. So by halftime, the Grizzlies were already leading by 26 points, and then they basically just maintained that significant lead throughout the entire second half. It was total garbage time down the stretch in this one. And the Grizzlies obviously shot the ball very efficiently, 46% from the field, 40% from three, and they totally dominated on the boards as well, 52-40. The Warriors, on the other hand, were 40% from the field and 31% from three, and they had 17 turnovers to make matters worse. So in pretty much every way, the Grizzlies just totally dominant. And so with this victory, the Grizz now improved to 53-23. So that is obviously good for second in the Western Conference. They are a whole 8.5 games behind the Phoenix Suns in first, but they're also 5 games up on the Golden State Warriors now in third. And the Grizz are plus 6.3 in the point differential, which is second best in the Western Conference. They're on a 5-game winning streak, and they're 9-1 in their last 10 games. Just incredible stuff for Memphis. Whereas the Warriors, with this loss, now fall to 48-28. So like I said, in third now in the West, 5 games below the Grizzlies in second, and just 1.5 games up on the Dallas Mavericks in fourth. So they are potentially at risk of falling all the way down to fourth if things continue to go poorly. They're on a 3-game losing streak right now. They're just 4-6 in their last 10. Their plus 5.1 point differential is fourth best in the West. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Warriors were led, as I mentioned, by Jordan Poole. He had 25 points in the starting lineup in 28 minutes. He was 7 of 17 from the field, 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, and a perfect 8 of 8 from the free throw line. He had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, although he was negative 21 in the plus-minus, which was nearly the team low, if not for Nemanja Bjelica off the bench going negative 22. But the rest of the starters weren't much better. They got 15 points from Jonathan Kuminga, the rookie. He was negative 15 in the plus-minus. He was 4 of 11 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3. He had 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. 10 points for Andrew Wiggins in 29 minutes. He was 5 of 15 from the field, 0 of 5 from beyond the arc. And he had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And then just 2 points for the other two starters. Kevon Looney in 21 minutes was 1 of 2 from the field. And Gary Payton II was 1 of 1 from the field in 14 minutes. He had 3 rebounds. And off the bench for the Warriors, they got 18 points from the rookie Moses Moody. In 27 minutes, he was 7 of 14 from the field. He had 3 threes, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, and 2 blocks as well. And then they also got 6 points from Chris Gioza, 6 from Andre Iguodala, 5 points for Nemanja Bjelica in 18 minutes, 4 for Damian Lee, and 2 points for Juan Toscano-Anderson. Whereas the Grizzlies were led, as I mentioned, by Desmond Bane. He had 22 points in 27 minutes. The sophomore, he was 7 of 15 from the field, 5 of 6 from 3, and he had 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. He was plus 31 in the plus-minus, which was the team high. Just incredible stuff once again for Desmond Bane. And then they also got 21 points from Dylan Brooks. In just 22 minutes, he was 9 of 15 from the field, and he had 2 rebounds. 13 points for Kyle Anderson. In 25 minutes, he was 5 of 8 from the field, and he had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. And then the other two starters, Steven Adams and Tyus Jones. Adams had 8 points and 9 rebounds with 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block in just 20 minutes. And Jones, the point guard, he had 7 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists in 26 minutes. Of course, there was no Jaren Jackson either for the Grizzlies. So while the Warriors were missing all of their key guys, the Grizzlies were as well. And they still managed to dominate this game nonetheless. And then off the bench for the Grizz, they got 21 points in 21 minutes from De'Anthony Melton. He was on fire, 8 of 13 from the field, 5 of 9 from 3, and he had 6 rebounds and 2 assists. And then they also got 12 points from Brandon Clark, the backup big man. In 25 minutes, he was 3 of 9 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 points for Xavier Tillman. He was only 1 of 7 from the field, though, but he had 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. And then 8 points for Zaire Williams, the rookie. He had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 points for Jarrett Culver, and 2 for John Conchar. All right, and finally, we can move on to Portland, where the Trailblazers were just defeated in the end in overtime by the Oklahoma City Thunder, 134-131. The Thunder were led by Isaiah Roby. He had a career-high 30 points in the starting lineup, and they also got 23-10 from Théo Maledon and 28 points from Aaron Wiggins. Whereas the Trailblazers were led by Ben McLemore. He had 28 points off the bench, including 8 three-pointers. And then they got 27 points from Drew Eubanks and 25 from Brandon Williams. So obviously this is just a who's who of rookies and second year players and waiver wire pickups. Both of these teams heavily in the tank. All of the key guys for both of these teams are either injured or being rested. And so we're not really going to go into too much detail about this game. The Thunder were actually on fire though. They were 53% from the field and 44% from three, whereas the Trailblazers were 45% from the field, 40% from three. But the Thunder, as you might expect from a totally inexperienced team with a bunch of rookies and sophomores in the starting lineup, they had 21 turnovers, whereas the Trailblazers just had 11. So that disparity in the ball handling allowed the Trailblazers to stick around in this game and force overtime ultimately, despite their poor shooting. But then in the end, in overtime, the Thunder were able to prevail and they got the win. It was 19-16 in overtime. So there was no shortage of scoring in this game, to say the least. But with this victory, the Thunder now improved to 22-53. So of course that is good for a second to last in the Western Conference. But more importantly, they're now clearly in fourth in terms of the draft lottery, with the Rockets, Magic, and Pistons all on 20 wins and the Thunder on 22. So once again, it seems like the Thunder might inadvertently win too many games and cost themselves a pick. You'll of course recall last season, they were one of the worst teams, but they kept winning these surprising games. And ultimately, they got unlucky with the draft lottery because they weren't quite as far down as some of those other teams. And they ultimately ended up with like the sixth pick, even though they had a chance to get like the first and the fourth pick, but they really got unlucky. And that could potentially happen again this season. So we shall see how it all unfolds. They really don't want to get surpassed by the Indiana Pacers, who are on 25 wins. And as for the Trailblazers, they are also in this mix. This loss takes them to 27-48. So they are now tied with the Sacramento Kings in terms of the wins. They're both on 27 wins. So they would like to catch the Indiana Pacers and potentially move into the top five. So it's going to be close down the stretch to see which of those teams ends up in fifth, sixth, and seventh. It's probably just going to remain as it currently stands, with the Pacers in fifth, the Trailblazers and Kings in sixth and seventh. But the Trailblazers are definitely doing their best to tank as hard as they can. And of course, once you get to the draft lottery, it's no guarantee that you're going to remain where you actually are. You could move up or you could move down. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see how that all unfolds throughout the rest of the season. But anyways, we can move on now to the box score of this meaningless game. And the Thunder were led, as I mentioned, by Isaiah Roby. He had a career-high 30 points on 11 of 13 shooting. Incredible efficiency for Roby. He was 4 of 5 from 3, and he had 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. So he's potentially a fantasy pickup throughout the rest of the season if you're in your fantasy playoffs and he's available. He's been putting up nice numbers recently. And then they also got 28 points from Aaron Wiggins, the rookie. In 40 minutes, he was 11 of 19 from the field. He had 2 threes, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. They got a double-double from Théo Maledon, the sophomore point guard. He was 7 of 17 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3. He had 23 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. And then they got 12 points from Vit Krejci in 32 minutes. He was 4 of 6 from beyond the arc. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. And Alexei Pokuševski, the sophomore big man, had a double-double, 11 points, 11 assists in 41 minutes. He was 4 of 11 from the field. He had 2 threes, 8 rebounds, and 1 block as well. He also had 6 turnovers. And off the bench for the Thunder, they got 12 points from Lindy Waters in 24 minutes. He was 4 of 10 from the field. Also, 12 points for Olivier Saar. He was 5 of 7 from the field. He had 2 steals and 5 rebounds. And Jeremiah Robinson-Earl, rounding out the bench, had 6 points and 8 rebounds in 15 minutes. And as for the Trailblazers, they were led, as I mentioned, by Ben McLemore off the bench. He had 28 points in 32 minutes. He was 10 of 22 from the field, 8 of 18 from 3. And he had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. As for the starters, they were led by Drew Eubanks, the big man. He was incredible in this game. 27 points and 14 rebounds on 12 of 14 shooting. Insane efficiency for Eubanks in 41 minutes. He had 3 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks as well. And then they also got a big double-double from Brandon Williams. 25 points and 12 assists in 41 minutes. He was 8 of 20 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3. And he had 4 rebounds and 4 steals as well. There was some really gaudy stats across the box score in this game. And then there was also 17 points for the rookie Keon Johnson. He was 7 of 19 from the field. He had 3 threes, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals. 9 points for CJ Ellaby in 38 minutes. He was 3 of 11 from the field. He had 11 rebounds and 5 assists. And then 5 points for Elijah Hughes, rounding out the starting lineup for the Trailblazers. And off the bench for Portland, besides Ben McLemore, they also got 10 points from Chris Dunn and 10 points as well from Keljan Blevins. Dunn was 5 of 7 from the field in 23 minutes. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. And Blevins was 4 of 10 from the field, and he had 7 rebounds. All right, and so with that, we are done with the box score breakdown. We can now move on to fantasy, the standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. And we had a couple of pretty incredible options to choose from for standout and surprising line. Frankly, a couple of crossover options because there were some really surprising, outstanding lines. So just to run through some of the options for standout line, you had Nikola Jokic dropping a huge triple-double, 26 points, 19 rebounds, 11 assists, and 2 steals. He was probably the closest contender to standout line. And then you also had Pascal Siakam dropping 40 and 13. Isaiah Roby had a career high 30 and 8. And then you had Tyrese Halliburton dropping 25 and 13. Darius Garland had 25 and 12. Brandon Williams had 25 and 12. And then 16 and 12 for Mitchell Robinson with 3 blocks. Just a ton of incredible lines throughout the league. But ultimately, for standout line, we're going to go with DeJounte Murray, the guard for the San Antonio Spurs. He had just a well-rounded line. 33 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And he was very efficient. 11 of 18 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, and 9 of 12 from the free throw line. So just providing a little bit of everything, and he did have 2 turnovers. But nonetheless, the efficiency was really solid. 11 of 18 is fantastic. And then the 11 assists, the 4 combined steals and blocks, all of that is just really incredible. And Murray has been a revelation from a fantasy perspective this season. Obviously, this is his best season of his career by far. On the season, he's averaging, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, and 2 steals. Just remarkable numbers for Murray. Everyone thought that he would be able to increase his production after DeMar DeRozan's departure, but nobody would have expected that he'd be able to put up numbers quite like this and on efficiency quite like this. So DeJounte Murray having a fantastic season, and this was a fantastic game. He is your standout line of the night. And as for surprising line of the night, you honestly could have gone with 4 different guys. So you had Isaiah Roby's career high 30 points with 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and he was incredibly efficient, 11 of 13 from the field. So it was really tough not to go with Roby. And then there was some other really good options too. Aaron Wiggins had 28, 5, and 6. You had Tale Maledon dropping 23 and 10. And then Brandon Williams had 25 points and 12 assists with 4 steals. So it was honestly a cornucopia of surprising, incredible lines. But ultimately, we're going to have to go with Drew Eubanks. He was honestly a contender for standout line of the night. You could have easily gone with him, but I just wanted to spread the love around a little bit to DeJounte Murray. But still, Eubanks, incredible line. 27 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. And he was incredibly efficient. 12 of 14 from the field. And he was also 3 of 4 from the free throw line, and he only had 1 turnover. He didn't attempt a 3-pointer at all, but still, the 5 combined steals and blocks, the 14 rebounds, and then, of course, the efficiency, 12 of 14 from the field, is just absurd. So Drew Eubanks is absolutely your surprising line of the night, and then DeJounte Murray is your standout line of the night. All right, and so with that, we can move on now finally to our preview for tonight, Tuesday, March the 29th. And we've just got 5 games on in the NBA tonight. Starting off in Philadelphia, the 76ers are taking on the Milwaukee Bucks, a big matchup. And the Sixers are actually favored. They're -1.5. In Washington, the Wizards are taking on the Chicago Bulls, and the Bulls are favorites. They are -4. In Dallas, the Mavs take on the LA Lakers, and the Mavs are huge favorites. They are -12. In Brooklyn, the Nets are taking on the Detroit Pistons, and the Nets are -14. And finally, in Los Angeles, the Clippers are taking on the Utah Jazz, and the Jazz are -1. All right, so some really juicy games here in the NBA. That Mavericks -12 versus the Lakers is a very interesting line. I'm also intrigued by the Jazz -1 versus the Clippers. And then the Nets -14. I can't envision a scenario where they don't demolish the Pistons, but that is a really big line. So ultimately, I think we've just got one best bet for tonight, and it's going to be that big matchup with the 76ers taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. This one obviously has huge implications for the conference standings, as both of those teams are just below the Miami Heat in second and third. So ultimately, we're going to take the Milwaukee Bucks +1.5 in Philadelphia. Now, obviously, this line is impacted by the fact that Giannis Antetokounmpo right now is day-to-day, and this could change throughout the rest of the day as the game gets closer. And so obviously, if he was to be ruled out, I might swerve away from this pick. But with that being said, I think there's a pretty good chance that he does play because he's a competitive guy and he likes to match up against the best. And the 76ers are definitely one of the best in the Eastern Conference. So I think he will play. But even if he doesn't, frankly, I think the Bucks could still stick with the 76ers nonetheless. I mean, they are a very talented team, especially with Brook Lopez back and Pat Connaughton. Now that they've got all their depth pieces, they are a really deep and talented team with Middleton and Holiday leading the way. Holiday is having one of his best seasons of his career. And so, yeah, I think the Bucks, even without Giannis, can go toe-to-toe with the 76ers, who have been a little bit lackluster since James Harden's initial arrival. They were on fire at that point, but then they've definitely cooled off just a little bit. So hopefully Giannis plays, and if he does, I think the Bucks will definitely win. But even if he doesn't, I think the Bucks can still cover that line potentially. Although with that being said, if he is out, I might chicken out at the last second. We'll see. But anyways, for now, we're going to take the Bucks +1.5 for our best bet in Philadelphia. And that will do it for us today. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. If you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review, and we'll be back tomorrow to recap all 5 of those games and to preview the action for Wednesday, March the 30th. So until then, thanks for tuning in.